passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Times, where we solve problems, face the world, help the world, wait for it, one ohm at a time. Welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show. Remember, we are now a live call-in show, so you get to be part of the conversation. You can call in at 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057. If speaking your question is not your thing, feel free to come to facebook.com/mydrkevin, M-Y-D-R-K-E-V-I-N, and you'll see today's post. You'll see how to contact today's guest. You'll see places where you can leave comments that we can bring into the conversation. Unless you are 1,000% happy with exactly where the world is in all of its aspects and in every aspect of your life, and if you are, I don't know where you get your drugs, but let me know. What I have to say is that there's change that you want, something that you think that where you could be better, where the world could be better, where you'd like to see something done differently. Muttering about it after a few beers, complaining about it over a scotch or a quick toke on something that's being passed by does not solve the problem. However, showing up, speaking out, taking action, and being part of the change will help you create your world and the world that you would like to see, or at least get a little closer to it. As always, when you come to facebook.com/mydrkevin, if you've not been there before, or if you haven't bothered to like me, make sure you do. I'm a likable guy, even if I say so myself. And in just a few minutes, we will introduce tonight's guest, as we always do. But for my regulars, and I would love to hear, how many of you have actually been listening to me for over 12 years, have followed me through all the stations, all the things? Just let me know. Say, hey, I'm one of those poor, sad people that have been listening to you, Dr. Kevin, for 12 years, because I'll send you a sympathy card. That being said, we always start with my hot topic. The hot topic is what makes me either hot under the collar or all warm and fuzzy. I've been really working on doing more warm and fuzzies because I think that there's enough hot under the collar BS going on in the world today that I don't really want to feed into it. But today I had to make an exception. Sadly, Coco died at 46. Coco is the gorilla that they had taught how to do sign language and could actually communicate and could communicate Coco's thoughts and feelings and desires. Not too long ago, I ran across something that said that they've now proven that fish can feel pain. For some reason, man thinks it's just a startling discovery that somehow us as king of the jungle, at least in our own jungle-like mind, that everything else is of a lesser nature. It's just of a different nature, boys and girls. And yes, fish feel pain, which means they have feelings. And gorillas and apes and all sorts of other types of animals communicate. Sometimes they communicate better than we do with each other. They're a little bit more organized. And in the animal kingdom and the reptile kingdom and all sorts of things, there are very few creatures that I'm aware of. I can't think of any off the top of my head that kill for just the joy of killing, not unless they're rabid, which means that a high percentage of humanity is rabid. And I say a high percentage because anything over 1% is too high, as far as I'm concerned. And I think that if we had more of our people who are in power and making decisions that lead to killing and lead to inhumane conditions, wear more of the blood on their hands and experience more of the pain that they create for other people, they might be less willing to do it. But we are still, whether we like it or not, a country run by angry old white men who are disconnected from the reality of what it means to be a human in America on a daily basis. They simply don't have a clue, and we see that time after time. So Coco has died. We have lost someone that has showed us that we are not the only bright animal in the kingdom. And in fact, some people would say that a lot of the animals are brighter than we are. But I have hope, because I always have hope, because we can become brighter, or at least more self-aware. Because, you know, in some cases, we're quite bright enough. It's just that we're disconnected. Some might even call us occasionally arrogant, or arrogant on a daily basis. That being said, I'm going to introduce today's guest. Not that I associate today's guest with arrogance, mind you. I realized that that segue might have been a little rough, but I didn't hear the phone hang up, so he's still here. Today's guest
I've got to say I've had my moments.
Today's guest is Johnny Dupre. Johnny graduated with a bachelor's degree in human development with an emphasis in counseling from California State University, San Marcos. And of course, we know California is the home of counseling because everybody over there thought it was cool 50 years ago. Over the past 15 years, Johnny has accumulated a wide array of knowledge on human behavior, cognition, and social dynamics. It has been his passion and his goal to discover the most effective tools and techniques to successfully guide clients to personal transformation as quickly and profoundly as possible. We'll read more about Johnny on each segment, but you can come to facebook.com/mydrkevin and read all about Johnny and see the connection to his webpage, Your Charisma Coach. That being said, Johnny, welcome.
Thank you so much, good sir. I appreciate you having me on the show for today.
Oh, not a problem. So what I always do is I start by putting my guest a little bit on the hot spot by asking you what you thought of today's hot topic. I can take it. I'm tough. If you hear me crying and sniffling, it's okay. Don't feel bad. On today's topic, so do you think that man, do you think man should change some of what he does when he accepts the fact that he's not the only thing on earth with feelings? And what do you think about the evolution? And how would you see that change, Johnny?
For me, the biggest thing is the recognition that our predecessor is capable of evolving themselves, or at least growing in a direction of more towards love and inspiration and connection through communication than even we're capable of. Shows us another level of possibility of where we can go. And for me, that realm of possibility can turn very quickly into the realm of probability. And so I think that it's important for us to acknowledge Coco's existence and all that we learned from that sweet soul's life in order for us to gather even more about sort of where we came from, in order for us to redevelop where we're going.
Well, I think that's very important because we all evolve. Everything evolves. On this show, I've often talked about the fact that, God evolves as we do. And even if that's just because of our understanding evolves. But we seem to have always a very dyed-in-the-wool, hard segment of humanity that is stuck in some version of the good old days, no matter how horrible those days were. Why do you think that is?
I think it comes back down to cognitive dissonance and our mankind's desire not to be uncertain about our futures or uncertain about ourselves. And so as a result of that, anything that we can consider to be the unknown is actually more uncomfortable for us than being aware of and knowing our own limitations, thus falling in love with our own pain or our own stagnancy.
Well, one of the other things we talk about on this show is that, pain is mandatory in a lifetime. We're going to lose a tooth. We're going to scrape a knee. And we're going to have our heart broken at some point. However, suffering is absolutely optional. And some people have really raised it to an art form.
Yes, they have.
So that being said, Johnny, I'm going to give you our first question of the day that's all about you. And I'm assuming you did your homework and you know what's coming because I've sent you the three questions. So there's no surprises. Good. So Johnny, where do you want to take my listeners outside the box? Where do you want to stretch their comfort zones? Let's give them a little unknown because, there are freaks like me who actually like it, but I know we're few and far between. So go for it.
Well, the thing for me is the fact that most people believe that charisma or our ability to connect with others is something that we're innately born with, that we either have that sort of charismatic gene or we're screwed and we're destined for a future filled with loneliness and depression and movies alone on a Friday night. And for me, I actually was born a nerd. born a pretty big dork and a pretty big geek. I was into Star Wars and Star Trek and Dungeons and Dragons and literally was not born into a place of being able to connect with other people very easily. But over the course of the better part of the last, say probably now 15, 20 years, I've been studying everything I could possibly get my hands on when it comes to helping people develop the skill sets of human connection. So I've discovered that it's not an innate talent that one is either born with or not, but it's something that we can pick up as a skill over the course of our lives. And so for me, the big thing that I want to stretch everybody's comfort zone is recognizing that inside of you, whether you're aware of it or not, there is a charismatic life waiting to unfold, provided you're willing to master that skill set.
Okay, well, so is that some of the is some of the things that different people find different things attractive or charismatic in connection as well? Some people would find that there's an aspect of charisma to the guy that can speak Klingon. It's a smaller group, perhaps. How much do you think the homogenization of humanity, which has been happening since the 50s, has to do with our limited concepts of what charisma is and isn't?
I think what it is it gives us an easy backdoor as a scapegoat, a sort of excuse or reason for relegating ourselves to this is who I am and there's nothing I can do about it. It gives us sort of that ability to blame something outside of ourselves and ultimately put ourselves in a position of weakness and not that of strength, in my personal opinion.
Well, and this is all your personal opinion. If it's somebody else's,
naturally,
you can let us know who. Yeah. So, yeah. So
yeah,
don't worry about that. Everybody here knows you're speaking for yourself and nobody else.
Okay.
So, Johnny, but one of the things is it easy? Is it lazy? Or has it gotten worse with social conditioning, which again, since the 50s, has been hugely detrimental to self-worth and self-esteem? I mean, Madison Avenue has made billionaires out of making a large swath of America depressed and in need of designer jeans, designer drugs, and therapy. So, I mean, let's face it, there was an orchestration to do this suppression. But the question is it easy? Is it lazy? Or is it that really they're damaged enough that they don't know better? Because those are three different things.
I actually feel like it's a combination of all three, and it really does depend on the nature of how one is raised or what one's influence is by their culture. You know, if you're not raised around TV and you're raised more in some sort of religious background where they basically tell you to avoid pop culture altogether, you're not really going to fall into the aspects of the easiness factor. In settling for where you're at, you might find yourself more falling into lazy, which is as you get older, you start to see these other cultures that you could venture into, but then you say to yourself, well, my mom and dad taught me, or my clergy taught me, or my teachers taught me to stay in my own zone, and that out there was dangerous. And so you sort of fall into the laziness and the easiness of saying it might be just better if I stay with my own people. As opposed to you've actually been traumatized and been rejected by people before, and it would be better for you just to hide.
Well, I think that there's a comparability here to being rejected by the TV or the movie or the magazine that basically tells you that no matter how good you are, you're not good enough. You're not thin enough. You're not tall enough. You're not pretty enough. You're something. Something's wrong with you, because they can't sell you anything if there's nothing wrong with you. On the other hand, I find that a lot of times, especially cult-like religions, which I put in the nutcase, the nutcase fringe of Christianity, that those, not all Christianity, I'm being clear, I'm talking about the fringe, the nutcase fringe, but that they're just as abusive in because they don't want to teach you how to think. They want to teach you what to think. And your God tells you you were born sinful, and no matter what you do, you're going to work really hard, and you could still be screwed at the end and spend eternity in hell. Let's face it, that's not a real motivator for taking risk. And there's something about charisma, if it doesn't come naturally, involves taking risk. Don't you think that that it can be just as devastating as, you know, what we're seeing on TV?
I couldn't agree more. In fact, institutionalized ignorance is the term that I use when I'm talking to my clients about this, and that there is a certain amount of risk aversion that we're taught, and we're either taught it, like you said, through the media, or even worse, we're brainwashed with it from birth by our own parents. And so as we're raised, we're taught not to push limits. We're taught not to go out and play with wild abandonment on the playground, and instead opt for more quote, safe ways of interacting with the world. So, yeah, I completely agree with you.
You know, and then there are those people like me who just got better at hiding the wild abandonment, so I wasn't caught doing it.
Well, and now we wonder why there's this dark, this quote, dark side of our society, and why there's all these things that are being uncovered now that used to just be discreet, entire communities of individuals that are now being having a spotlight shown on them, and thus bringing that sort of that risk to their front doorstep.
You know, we're at a time, and of course I'm into all of the spiritual crap, and so I can call it crap, because some of it's really good fertilizer from which you grow stuff, and some of it's just what you would think for fertilizer as being. But you know, astrologically, there is a time of. There is our music. When our music starts, we have to wrap down because they can't hear us, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes with Johnny Dupre.
Conscious media for conscious minds. Ohm Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more. All to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Mother, Mother Ocean.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. But manatees are endangered, and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Times. Remember, we are a live call-in show. If you'd like to be kind of part of this conversation that our today's guest, Johnny Dupre, and I are having, you can call in at 202-570-7057. You can also go to facebook.com/mydrkevin, and you can post, and we'll share your comment. If you're listening to this as a replay, so it's not Thursday night between 6 and 7 Eastern Standard Time, then You can still go to Facebook. You can still leave your comment, and I will track Johnny down. I'll grab him by the ankle, and I'll shake an answer out of him, unless the question's for me. Is that okay, Johnny?
Game.
So Johnny began as a certified hypnotherapist and master practitioner of NLP and has since become an internationally renowned body language specialist. I'm glad we're on the radio. With an expert standing in advanced micro expression in training. I think my tongue, when I stick it out, is too big to be considered a micro expression. Subtle expression recognition training, emotional skills and competence, and certified in brain-based leadership and coaching, has improved the social skills of hundreds of clients throughout the world and has taught charismatically on three continents. He's taught charisma on three continents, but I'm sure he did it charismatically. Didn't you, Johnny?
Did my absolute best, still do.
There we go. That's what we like. But we are hearing a lot of stuff coming out. I just want to finish up the end of our last conversation.
Please.
About how many people, whether it's media or parent or cult-like that they belong to. And I don't know if you saw that recently, there was this whole thing that came back up about two teenage boys, and one literally got beaten to death and the other one in the hospital by the congregation of their church, including their own parents, because they wanted to leave the church and they were told that, and the pastor said, you need to beat the devil out of them. And literally they beat one of them to death trying to beat the devil out of them. So when people, want to talk to me about my standings on Christianity, I go, you want to look at all of Christianity there, don't you? Let's have that conversation. Moving right along. Johnny, was there anything else you wanted to add before we moved on to the next question?
No, I'm with you.
Okay. I want to pick on something for a second.
Go for it.
I thought that you might be up for it. You had a comment on your website about armchair experts.
my rant.
your rant on armchair experts. I would like you specifically, because I want to take this, because the next question is, where do you want to take, expand a truth, behind the curtain? Now, have you listened to any of my shows? Do you know what the quiz is you need to take here? Are you familiar with it?
Not the quiz, but I have listened to one of your shows. I listened to the one that you did with Marcus Oki.
Okay. I didn't ask him the quiz question.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Oh, bad me. So, tell me, what movie did this come from? Okay. Ignore the man behind the curtain.
That's got to be The Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz. And, going back to animals for a second, we know who exposed the charlatan, right? It was Toto.
Mm-hmm.
The dog was smart enough to see that the great and powerful Oz was just a shyster from Kansas. Peddling bad ethanol. But that happens. We get blown up things, we get misrepresented things, and we get led around by our noses. And in this segment, I invite my guests to take something out from behind the curtain and expose the true nature, according to them, of something that's going on in the world. And I would really like to invite you, you don't have to, it is your choice, you can change it, I would like you to do that on Armchair Experts. Are you up for that?
Yes.
Go for
me,
it.
For me, online social media has given every single individual, no matter what lot or plot in life, the opportunity and the platform for them to act as if they're an expert in something that they actually don't have a background in officially and formally. And so for me, it's almost as if we are pretending, there are a great many people I've known who pretend to be in the know, pretend to be aware of, pretend to have expertise in something that they actually do not. And when pushed, when prompted, when poked at, their entire ideology and methodology for their stance on something falls apart, because there is absolutely zero wisdom that stands behind that knowledge. It's the same as somebody who understands the research on a topic and somebody that's reciting a statistic they read once. When you ask them any sorts of questions, they end up falling back into cognitive dissonance and essentially just defending their point of view with really no leg to stand on. And that, for me, is the basis of the combination or fusion of arrogance and ignorance.
Well said. I just wanted somebody else to speak on this topic on my show besides me, because I can't tell you how many times I've brought this up either on my radio show or on my TV shows. And I do a Web of Light Expo. I'm actually doing two next year. I, over the 2 days, have like 33 to 35 different presentations. And I did one this last April on the dangers of fast food spirituality.
Oh, wow.
And part of that is about all of these, because you saw it on the internet, it's got to be true, unless you don't agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And that's where I really believe that this whole concept of fake news is along this same principled line, which is once you see it, it's real. And depending upon how you give trust and rapport to someone, like if you give trust and rapport to a journalist at a specific website that you follow, even though you haven't looked at any of their previous track record, have they earned your trust? Have they earned their expertise? So suddenly you're taking advice from an armchair expert, and you, of course, are falling into the same principles of the armchair expert, which means you're now a double armchair expert. And that ends up making a lot of people that I've noticed and spoken to really just going to bat inside of arguments without a tool in which to fight with.
Well, you know, and that's maybe why there has been such an increase of the spotting of octopuses, because we have armchair experts that go 8 or 10 arms deep.
Yes.
But the sad part is, and this is one of my other rants. We used to, at one point, in one of my earlier incarnations of the show, we would actually have the sound of me stepping up on my soapbox that we play. But what's the real shame is that we let our elected officials get away with it. We allow them to be an armchair expert with one arm and be taking lobbyist checks in the other hand.
Mm.
And they don't research
it. I feel
it.
The exact same way. Yeah, and listening to them is almost it's almost really saddening or almost depressing for me. I've actually just avoided the news now because I can't take these armchair experts speaking on topics they know almost nothing about and then selling it to us with this fake confidence, so that people actually do believe them. They are, in my personal opinion, the lowest form of con man.
Well, you know, and it's not only it's because it's self-serving armchair experts. It's not just laziness. Mm-hmm. There's a conscious manipulation to pick and choose what's going to get you enough money to get reelected because you don't want to give up your cushy place in our government, misrepresenting our people, and
which for me is where the psychological meets the sociological. The individual wants to take care of their own selves and their own lives, and as a result ends up tapping into a sociological frame of reference like a political position or a celebrity or something that grants them rights that most individuals don't have.
I do have to say, and I don't want to turn this into a political show, but I do think that our bully in chief has raised it to an all-time high art form. And I do say, and I will always say, and I will continue to say, I am not being disrespectful when I call President Trump our bully in chief. I am just being, I'm just identifying what has been a clearly an easily to identify trend of bullying that he engages in on a regular basis. So I call him our bully in chief. I'm not being disrespectful. Mm. I'm just identifying the truth. There's a difference.
Mm.
But how much do you think this has to do, Johnny, with the decrease in an emphasis on teaching critical thinking skills? Do you think if more Americans were actually taught at younger and younger ages and rewarded for having critical thinking skills and encouraged, that we would be in the mess we're in now?
I don't think we'd be in the same mess at all if we taught those skills. Although I'd also like to join those skills of critical thinking and the intellect with our ability to be non-attached within our emotional intelligence in order for us to not only train our intellectual mind, but also our emotional mind, so that we not only can step apart from someone's logic and start to see how they put together ideas, but we can also make sure that we are not flooded with our own desire to protect ourselves in a conversation as if a constructive criticism that's being offered to us is a personal attack on our identities. And so we can actually listen to people, not just with our heads, but with our hearts as well.
Well, you know, one of the things, you know, that I've said for years is that, you know, truth is like a stick, and you can hand it to somebody as a walking stick to get over rough terrain, or you can beat the shit out of them with it. It can still be the mm-hmm. truth. It's all how you deliver it.
Mm-hmm.
And there is this misbelief that when you're being honest with somebody, it means you're being mean. When, you know, you can be mean in being honest, but honesty with compassion is anything but mean. In fact, it's life-changing, and it shows you who your real friends are. And I think we've lost a lot of that. What are your thoughts?
I agree, and has become one of the most pivotal skill sets that as a therapist and as a coach, we need to make sure that we cultivate within ourselves. Because essentially when one of my clients comes to see me, they have a story about themselves or about a previous or past experience. And within that story, it can be great suffering, like you mentioned earlier. The sensation of pain doesn't necessarily need to be anything more than the sensation of it. But as soon as we add the story to it, then we add the suffering to the experience too. So as a therapist and as a coach, my ability to listen to someone from a compassionate place gives them the opportunity to view themselves in a new way from my perspective. And from that ability, they can learn something new about themselves and thus evolve.
So you mean you're not one of those therapists that only does monologues?
Even as a hypnotist, which I have a background in, I am not a monologuing hypnotist, no.
Why does that not surprise me, Johnny? Doesn't surprise me at all.
It's been a wild ride.
No surprises there. One of the things is that we are here and we have been made over in the image of political correct BS. Worry about what the neighbors think, reality, as if somehow we're all being watched like a 50s sitcom and our lipstick better be on straight and our crinoline better be ironed.
Mm.
Or we go just the other way and say, I want to wear my crinoline on my head and I'm going to paint my lipsticks on my backside so you know where to kiss it. But both are caricatures of actual complex, complicated personalities. And I think that people almost get denied the right to be complicated because we're trained to put them so much into black and white. Have you found that? Do you agree? Do you disagree? Thoughts?
I've absolutely found that. And it's almost as if our society is trying to keep people so into themselves that they're never allowed to share the true them with anyone around them. And for me, it comes back to this concept of that's offensive and that's offensive and what you said is offensive. And my thought is, so what? It's not like you're going to die because you've been offended. It's something that for me is a tool that the powers that be utilize in order to keep us inside of ourselves and unwilling to challenge others' ideologies for growth. And for me, that's all a big building block of collaboration.
Well, and collaboration is so important. And part of the ways that I think that the first step in collaboration, from my perspective, and then I'd like to hear yours, we are going to hear the music in about 2 minutes. And as it starts, we have about 30 seconds before they can't hear us at all, just so you know. I think that the first step towards true collaboration is the collaboration that we must do with our shadow side. And the acceptance of all of us thoughts.
Mm. To deny something that is within you is to create an inner conflict. And an inner conflict creates collateral damage. And since it's all happening inside of you, even the collateral damage is you. So denying or avoiding looking at one's own shadow keeps us in our own imprisonment. And a conflict between prisoners, so to speak, as opposed to fully embracing, acknowledging, and accepting all that we are in order to transmute and alchemically transform the negative into the positive.
Interesting. In a healing system that I created and teach, we have embrace, release, and then transform/transmute, which obviously are two different things but are kissing cousins. That process, part of the process that we put people through. One of the things I like to say is if we ignore our shadow side, it's going to eat us. That's what happens.
I couldn't agree more.
We're going to be right back with Johnny Dupre, and we're going to hear more about how fabulous he is and find out what's coming up for him. Here on the Dr. Kevin Show.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing and a summer evening. It's everybody over for Sunday dinner, and your family sleeping in their own beds at night. Making Home Affordable is a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is Why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show here on the longest, sunniest day of the year if you are in the Northern Hemisphere. Yay, sunlight! Today's guest is Johnny Dupre. Johnny is, he combines a breadth of knowledge and skill sets to create a unique and powerful teaching methodology, all of which he developed sitting in an armchair. If you haven't been listening, then you need to go back and listen to the earlier part of the show when it's on out on replay, or you won't get the joke, and it's your fault that you're not laughing. His ability to create deep and immediate change has rightfully earned him a reputation as one of the best trainers on the planet. If he says so himself, you go, Johnny. I believe in self-confidence. Yeah, you just didn't know what you were really getting yourself in for, did you?
I love this. Are you kidding me?
Okay, so we talked about shadow sides. We talked about, you know, how it can be the bane of your existence. Here in our last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show, this is where I like to turn my guests loose. And just ask him the simple question, which is, what's going on in the world that you think is a load of crap, and what's the solution for it?
Okay, real simple. Everything that's going on in the United States with the border control and everything that's going on right now is a load of crap. The arguments I am hearing from left to right, from conservative to liberal, from moderates across the board is ridiculous. It started with Clinton. No, it started with Obama. No, it started here. Who cares where it started? Morals, ethics, and principles and virtues are things almost all of humanity can agree upon. And I do not believe that separating children from their parents, no matter who started it, is worth it. It's a violation of human rights and will create damage, not just to the way the world views us, but how we view ourselves in this entire process. And I don't care who's the leader at this point in the world. Let's stop this nonsense. The days of concentration camps, internment camps, what did she call it? The other summer camps. The days of these camps are long over. And the fact that we are still running into them all over the planet is not only scary to me, but extremely sad. And something that I believe that if we pulled together as one human culture, we would be able to resolve together. So for me, that's the load of crap I'm seeing in the world today, is this blame game of who's tossing around, whose fault it is, instead of focusing our time on taking actions to resolve it.
Morals, ethics, values, and integrity. And you're putting those words in the same sentence as a reference to Washington, D.C. Is that not an inherent oxymoron?
I'm hoping I'm not putting it in the same sentence as the government. I am putting it into the sentence in the frame of humanity and what we're capable of. And I believe we're all capable of immense virtue, provided we are willing to challenge where we're at right now in order to bring about more of those virtues into our daily actions. So no, there's no way I'd put those in the same sentence, but I will absolutely put them with humanity's potential possibilities.
Well, you know, there is, and I, in my view of the world, and if you ever are in need of some side entertainment, you can look at my poetry corner, Yours No More, where I share a poem I wrote about taking back the American flag. I consider myself the ultimate patriot because I won't keep my mouth shut.
God.
Well, that, and I'm born on the 4th of July, so, but.
Oh, perfect.
But we have a country which I've not given up hope on, and I criticize because I know that it can be better. I know that it can be better, but we have a country that literally from its inception has been cruel, enslaved the natives, committed genocide, has been atrocious to every set of immigrants that ever came in the country when they initially got here, even though mm-hmm. we were all immigrants who were horrible to the people that actually lived here. We were engaging in slavery, I think it was almost 75 years after they'd eliminated it in Curaçao in the Caribbean. We have this set of illusionary values that we often don't live, but we love to proclaim. And as long as we stay with proclamation without the acid test of actualization in action, we're going to continue to keep, you know, to look at the look at the world from our eyes looking out through our mouth. And you know why that is, right, Johnny?
I would love to hear your take on it.
Our eyes are looking out of our mouth because our head is so far up our backside that that's where they have to see through. We have
God,
to be painful.
I would love to say that to so many people.
Trust me, I have.
Okay, good.
We have to be honest. And the funny thing is, and you know, one of the things that, and I'm going to go back to your charisma thing, because I know you didn't really come on the radio show to talk to me. You came here to promote your charisma. And I get that. And Marcus was here, and Joe's going to be here too in another month. And your website's here, and you're making some great comments that are going to make people go to your website because they're going to think you're a nice guy. I know you're fooling them, but we'll let them think that. No. But, you know, we have charisma. You know, charisma is being able to tell somebody, on one hand, it's being able to tell somebody the truth and have them thank you for it. Charisma gone bad is having somebody tell you the truth, or basically give you hell and they say thank you. And that's not necessarily charisma gone bad. That's an iffy. And then when you are self-serving, that's when you're a slime ball and you get elected to one of our offices in Washington. So charisma has always been a double-edged sword for me. I see a lot of people misuse it. I'm a big favorite every time I go back by one of these big mega cult-like churches. I start singing "There's a Sucker Born Every Minute" out of P.T. Barnum, the musical. So talk about the double-edged sword of charisma, charisma coach.
I think the big thing is about the principles that make up charisma. The principles that make up social dynamics. You know, I was taught as a young boy that a tool like a hammer can be used to build a home or build a house, but it can also be used to crack someone's skull open. And you said it earlier that a big stick of truth can be handed to somebody in order for them to walk up a mountain that they could never walk up without. Or it can be used to beat that person down into the ground so they never walk again. For me, charisma as an art form and a science are just a series of techniques and principles that allow human beings to create really bountiful and beautiful connections with each other. Now, what someone does with those connections depends on their intention and based on the virtues that they choose to adopt or not adopt in how they choose to live their lives. And so for me, I want to offer the principles of charisma from a place and a standpoint of the light side of it, or the white side of it, or the uplifting side of it, and not the darkness, and not the potential for a win-loss in any relationship, but a win-win continuously being created between all peoples.
So I'm going to ask you a blunt question, because none of them have been blunt so far, just so you're ready.
Yeah, right. Yeah, hit me.
Have you ever fired a client because you've observed what they're doing with your techniques and you can't feel good about it?
Yes. And I did it without remorse. And I did it without being apologetic to. And here's why. It's because I mentioned to them before we ever spoke why I'm there to do it, my purpose in directing my energy and my life in a specific direction of teaching charisma, and said that I was there to teach it for these reasons, and then gave my virtues around it and said, if at any point in time I feel like you're violating this agreement with me, then I will end our arrangement. And I did. And he understood when I laid it out for him. But look at what you're doing. And I laid it out and I said, are you at all apologetic about that? Or are you planning on shifting your direction or your intention? And he basically told me to kiss off. So I lovingly released him back into the wild again.
Well, so your virtues were violated and you told him to kiss off, or he told you to kiss off. Isn't that just the story of life?
Kind of, yeah.
Sorry, it was just too easy. I couldn't let it go by the boards.
Dr. Kevin, I don't. I'm a big believer that not everybody is ready to vibe with you, and that you. And I believe you probably think the same thing. That if you vibrate at a certain frequency, and others do not share that frequency, you're not honoring. You're really not honoring each other, and you're not going to make each other's lives better. So it's actually probably a smart idea to let it go and move on to those individuals that are ready to match your frequency and enhance it.
Yeah, I mean, my primary practice the last 28 years has been as a spiritual coach, counselor, and catalyst. And I do fire clients for a number of reasons, and they have a list up front of what the expectations are, and they need to agree to them. And I think that there needs to be, if people are saying that they want to bring light to the world, then they have a responsibility to, of when they work with somebody, whether it's as a mentor, a guide, a teacher, a coach, to not imbibe somebody with greater abilities to screw the world over that you're trying to bring light into. And you have to have faith that for every client you fire, five more are going to replace it who are trying to bring light into the world.
Definitely an abundance mindset versus a scarcity mindset, for sure. And for me, it's all about what's your willingness to play in the ranges. You know, earlier I spoke about light versus dark, or white versus black, or left versus right. And of course, you know what I mean. White versus black is the colors, not necessarily the race, naturally. But that these ranges are all about your ability to play in the shadow. So what you're aware of and what you're not aware of. Well, if you're willing to entertain that there are some individuals whose intentions are to shift the nature of their own virtues and to grow out of the darkness and into the light, then you can come to an agreement with them in order for you to join them in helping them become more and guide them, essentially mentor them. But if those individuals lack the desire to make that choice, then you really are just fighting uphill. And so for me, it's about being aware of it and making the conscious choice to release those individuals until they're at a point in their lives when they are actually ready to receive what it is you have to offer.
And in some ways, you are showing them a great amount of compassion and a desire for them to not end up screwing themselves over, because the misuse of those principles will bite them back.
Yeah, I believe that we dress that up in the word karma.
Yeah, well, karma is one of those words that has been very westernized and often misunderstood.
And often conflated with a lot of other ideas. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, we can't get anything on our hands in this country without trying to westernize or Christianize it. And, you know, it's really a sad statement, because when we do that, then we end up losing a lot of the power and get it twisted again back into people that are going to use it for their own benefit to justify their own actions. You know, now you said something and I did want to comment on it, and I know that we're going to probably be coming up shortly to the end of our segment, which is, you know, I have you talked about that you did it without apology, and I have a definition that I put out that I talk about my definition of empowerment. And empowerment is the power to be uniquely who you are without apology. And I thought of that when you said you did that without apology, because it is very empowering when you can speak your truth. And we're taught to apologize. We're taught to put ourselves in. And there's nothing wrong with saying, I'm sorry you feel that way, because I'm not happy that you feel that way. I wish you didn't feel that way. Yeah. But I'm not sorry for what I did. That's a different thing. Or maybe I am sorry that it turned out the way it is. Or maybe I did do something stupid and I should apologize, because there are some things we should just apologize for, because we all do have a shadow side and we all do have a bad moment and we all do make a bad choice. And that's part of human, being human.
And sometimes we just have to take care of ourselves and be compassionate first and foremost with where we're at, and recognize that a mistake itself is a potential learning. And from those mistakes, just allow ourselves to grow and experience the next risk, the next quote risk, in order to learn.
Yeah. So, as I know we're going to be wrapping this segment up and we may still have some more discussion time after you say whatever it is I'm going to ask you to say now, I would like to make sure that we have enough time for you to share with the audience, what is your closing thought? What is your best nugget of gold you want to leave my listeners with? Go.
Move your life from making statements to asking questions. And allow yourself to stay open to the ever-changing nature of reality, so that as you learn and grow, you can learn to adapt from a place of connection and love.
Johnny Dupree, I'm going to have you go on to the Dr. Kevin Show and type up that under comments, because I think the very last part of it might have got cut off. Would you be willing to do that?
Yeah.
So go on to the Facebook fan page. Make sure you like me, guy. And write it up. And thank you so much for coming on. We had a great time today with you.
Thanks a ton, Dr. Kevin. I appreciate it.